listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only Magic the Gathering podcast you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. With me, as always, is a super producer genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up, Mike? It's still Monday, inexplicably.
Yeah, we gave ready away the it. Game last week. We said it to everybody. We said, hey, we're recording these two back to back. So that means our guest today joining us again, having never left even, Michael Solani. Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael Solani.
Do we still have that gigantic office that stretches from like Chicago to Canada?
Yeah, I think we do.
The two places.
Yeah, Chicago and Canada. All of Canada, just Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's what's up. We're in the same office still.
We have a inner courtyard that's just the Great Lakes.
And you know what? Take a dip. Get crazy. Mm-hmm. Jump in. Water's awful. Okay.
It's cold as ice.
Freezing. Not great for you, but it'll wake you up. This week, we're doing a mailbag episode. Like we said last week, Michael Solani, former co-host of the show, back again. Not the bolus, officially. Even though he made that wretched pun the first episode, which somebody has reminded me of by now, and I remember it so well. But I do have a mailbag picked out ready for us to go. And before we get into it, I do have to mention it's time to shout out our sponsors. We're sponsored by Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. It's the best place to be trading your cards away and getting some back. It's fun to just scroll through people's collections and being like, okay, you're listing everything. Let's take a real good look at what you got. See if I can meet that shipping threshold, baby. Find some cards you have a hard time finding at your LGS, but find them easily on cardsphere.com. Make sure to click the referral link in the description of the show. We didn't mention this last time, but Bonebox Games still got a discount code. Bullcast, you could use to buy your Bonebox game products. And I didn't plug The Restless or Who's a Good Boy because they've been funded on Kickstarter. I believe The Restless is still available for you to support and purchase. I think that the campaign for Who's a Good Boy is done, but The Restless might still be up right now. And if it's not, I'm sorry you missed a window. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get it again. But shout out to Winslow Dumain and Dan Sheehan and his wife Julia. I am so bad at the last. I'm so sorry, Julia. I forgot your last name. I thought I had it here, and I don't have it here. Just as Dan Sheehan and Julia, my bad. But that said, sponsors talked about. We're gonna dive into this mailbag. This mailbag is based on an article of mine from last week. I covered it on the column, and I just wanted to hear what people had to say because I said something on the column, and it's still. Early enough for me to be able to pull the article if I'm completely off base. So I wanted to run it by you guys and see what you think. Are you guys ready for this?
So we have the power
to vote.
I can do democracy
here.
You can
do democracy here.
Oh, that's a scary thing.
And it should be scary.
I have the 3 points now.
Apologize to Ken right now.
I'm sorry. All right,
I'll put an extra bleep here.
Sorry.
Morgan, how you feeling? You ready for this mailbag?
Let's get it.
We're getting right into it. And I hope, and this is something I wanted to try too for the mailbag episodes, just getting into it. You know what I mean? We don't need all this preamble. We talked about some stuff last week. Get into the mailbags quick. You know what I'm talking about? So let's get into it. This one was sent to me by Removal Run-In. And it says, hi, Mike, I've been playing Magic Gathering for a while now, but only recently discovered your amazing articles, and I've been a fan ever since. Thank you so much. That rules. Here's my story. I am often found at my local game store on Friday nights playing Commander with my group of friends. One night, I had decided to swap decks with my friend James. He was playing my Caesar Legions Emperor tokens build, and I was playing his $100 budget Xyrus the Writhing Storm Spellslinger Voltron deck. My other friend, Finn, was playing with us that night, and he was playing his The Ur-Dragon deck that was vastly more upgraded with staples and game changers than either of James's or my decks. We knew this beforehand due to playing against the deck multiple times earlier that day. He was playing cards like Smothering Tithe, Rhystic Study, and other powerful cards, while neither of our decks featured anything of the like. During the previous games we played, James and I had used the vast majority of our suites of removal to deal with some of Finn's scary dragons. In this game, however, Finn was mana flooded and was often simply playing a land and passing while James and I were building out our respective boards. On turn 6, Finn played an explosive vegetation, and the following turn played his commander, the Ur-Dragon. I then used the cost reduction from the Ur-Dragon being green to cast an Okame Adversary for only 2 mana on the following turn. This is important because Okame Adversary has a reduction, but also is a death-touching creature. When it came to James's turn, he cast a Transmogrifying Wand, and Finn immediately began to argue that he should not use it to kill the Ur-Dragon, because we had been doing that all day and he wanted to put something cool into play with his ability. He managed to convince James against killing the Ur-Dragon, and instead, James targeted my Okame Adversary with Transmogrifying Wand. This whole time, I had had a Vines of Vastwood in my hand with 2 green mana open. Vines of Vastwood is a protection spell, and if you kick it, it gives extra power and toughness. After thinking for a while, I opted instead to cast the Thrash Side of Thrash Slash Threat, which is a fight spell, targeting the Ur-Dragon, because I was scared of what Finn could put into play on the next turn. Instead of just letting his Ur-Dragon die, he decided to scoop and said angrily he was going to find another pod. So was I the bolus for targeting his Ur-Dragon with my removal, or was he the bolus for scooping to it? Best removal run-in. So thank you for writing in. Thank you for sharing the story. I have read this story several times because it came in a while ago. This is one of those that I had in the inbox, and I would read it and go, I think this is pretty clean. No, let me have a little bit more time with this. Let me think on it for a little longer. And then I'd come back to it and I'd feel a completely different way. And then I'd go back and forth. And now here I am again, you know, flip-flopping to the point where I brought it to you guys to tell me. And so this was one that I've had for about a month and a half, you know, and I'm looking at it going, this is a good story because of all of these reasons. So I'd like to take it to you guys and say, my first instinct is, here are the facts. Ur-Dragon's playing Game Changers, making it a bracket 3 for sure already. Xyrus and Caesar seem to be bracket 2 at best, you know, playing with a, playing around a theme or playing with a budget restriction, you know. The indication for me was pretty much Transmogrifying Wand, and I'll explain. The moment I saw Transmogrifying Wand was mentioned, I thought, in Mardu you're gonna pick Transmogrifying Wand. There's so many. It's not like in the Jeskai precon that just came out for Edge of Eternities, where you can reload on charge counters. This is just like you spend 4 mana, kill one thing, and then spend 2 more mana and you kill 2 more things. That's not a bad card, but it just isn't as synergy forward. If anything, it's just tapping into the token theme. So that kind of makes me feel like maybe we're really mismatched in the bracket. Maybe we're looking at bracket 1s versus 3, right? To me, Transmogrifying Wand is a bit of an indication of like, okay, so we're going theme over function because you're in Mardu. The best cards to remove things, the best colors to remove things. You have access to like Anguished Unmaking, or even on ETB is like Lorne of the Third Path, for instance, you know? So that to me was a bit of a flag there for power level. And then they just spent the whole day having to remove Finn's threats in the Ur-Dragon deck. They said they used the majority of their suite of removal to remove the scary permanents that this player had put down in previous games. But then they reach turn 7 and he plays the Ur-Dragon and then begs not to have it killed so he could put something cool into play. And my thought was like, buddy, you already put cool stuff into play. You got the Ur-Dragon into play, which is cool. But then you've already played a bunch of games where stuff was scary enough that it kept having to be removed. So to me, James being swayed is kind of like, fine, I'll let you have it for now, but then I've got this emergency button for next turn. Whereas using the Transmogrifying Wand on the adversary is kind of like, why would you do that? Why not hold it up? Versus the fact that, like, now you have this opening. You kind of are pushed into this corner of, I have the perfect thing to remove this massive creature. Why not pull the trigger? And so the way I fell on it was, I could go either way. Either it's, yeah, it's a bolus move because this person is like flooded the whole game and is finally doing a thing. But also, they've only played lands, which means that next turn, they're probably going to draw something good or swing with the Ur Dragon, draw something good, and then get it into play for free. Like, I don't know. I had some tough feelings about this one, but I'd like to hear where you're at with this. Who would like to go first?
Jesus, I feel like I need to take like an exam on this. There's so much going on, you know, every single sentence is just packed. Mm-hmm. Let's start with this. I think the question, was I the bolus for targeting a Ur Dragon or was he the bolus for scooping to it, is incorrect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the question is wrong. I think there are three potential boluses here and we need to look at them individually. We need to look at James, we need to look at Finn, and we need to look at...
Removal run-in.
Unnamed third
we'll
man.
We'll call him John. I have his real name, but I'm not using it.
Okay. Well, we'll call him Mr. John Doe.
Mr. John Doe.
So we need to investigate all three of these and see where we're at here.
Okay.
Do you agree with that statement?
Well, I agree with the fact, anytime somebody goes, am I the bolus or was this person the bolus? I'm like, different. You're asking two questions. So I often will only go for like the question that's about them. And I'll kind of just be like, I don't think they're the bolus. I'm not going to elaborate on why I don't think they are or whether or not I do think they are. I'll just be like, yes or no, but I'm not going to get into it. You know what I mean?
I think to make things simpler. Uh-huh. Let's assume that is a morally neutral action. Let's just look at John Doe's response to the current situation and judge that as an action. Okay? Let's start there. Do you protect or do you kill the Ur Dragon? That's the crux of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because without that action, you're not necessarily using threat right away, maybe. Like, you could probably...
Yeah.
Let it go until your next turn, and then you have an answer. But I guess I don't know. I kind of got some of my opinions out early, and I do think we should throw to Morgan. Morgan, what do you think here? What's tickling you with this one?
I mean, Solani's got my brain thinking about context, right? And I mean, I think I agree with the both of you. So, I mean, the question at the end is interesting to me because, yeah, it's, was I the bolus for targeting a Ur Dragon with my removal, or was he the bolus for scooping to it? And I agree that we should look at the crux of the situation, which is not that the opponent scooped immediately. I think that the actions that led to the scooping are more important because, you know, yeah, this is about OP. This is about if OP is the bolus. And there's, fortunately, unlike with some of the mailbags that we get, there's a lot of context with this letter. And so
there's a lot of stuff that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at things like this Ur Dragon deck is vastly more upgraded with staples and game changers than either OP or James's decks. Right. So that's like fact number one. OK.
Yeah.
We don't know what those game changers could be. There could just be one or two.
He mentioned Smothering Tithe and Rhystic Study for sure.
And well, you knew this beforehand due to playing against the deck multiple times earlier in the day. So that to me is probably the most like important piece of information, is that this isn't like the first or second time they played against this deck.
Yeah, it's a few times today.
So it's a few times today with, you know, supposedly bracket one, bracket two decks, let's say, maybe like pre-con level at best. And
which we don't know for sure either. Like, they could have just switched to these decks or came back to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but they definitely were playing different decks, and they were playing these decks in this game for sure. But yes.
Yeah. And I think that relative to last week's episode, there's some saltiness going on here that OP is maybe getting seasoned over time along with James. With this Ur-Dragon
Mana Flood
deck.
Can do that, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. And so finally, I get a chance when this deck that I've been playing against multiple times and has won against me multiple times, or my pod, say. Gets mana screwed, mana flooded, to say. And here's my opening to try something dorky or new that I feel like I haven't been able to do for the first time. So yeah, I'm gonna do it. Right?
Yeah.
But am I gonna feel good about it? Not necessarily. I don't know if I've ever felt good about winning against somebody who where variance has kind of knocked them out a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. I don't think that it's a good win necessarily. I think it's a win superficially only. I've always felt that way.
But hold on. I'll interrupt you for a second here because, I mean, Finn's the one with the dragon deck. Finn kept a bad hand. I mean, if you've got all these game changers that are supposed to accelerate your ramp, accelerate your card draw, you play none of them, you play six lands and then cast the Ur-Dragon, that's kind of on you for keeping that
cast
hand.
Explosive Vegetation, mind you. Like,
we tried a little bit. Yeah, we tried to get there.
Yeah, you cast an Explosive Vegetation, then you cast the Ur-Dragon.
Which is also an indication, like, by the way, that we should be considering as well, because Explosive Vegetation is basics only in a five-color deck. You know.
No, it's Forest, isn't it? Or am I thinking of the other one?
Claim is Forest. Explosive Vegetation is basic.
Okay.
So it's something to consider as well.
But, like, you did play a ramp spell. You did get to the Ur-Dragon. Mm. The fact that you didn't play anything else in the meantime is kind of your fault. You can't use that as leverage to say, oh, I didn't do anything this game. Don't blow up my thing that lets me do things.
Definitely try. Like, that's what this is all about, right? It's like, I understand the pressure of not wanting to mulligan because you're trying to go fast or you only have time for one more game. So I get this idea that, like, oh, I've got all these good cards in the deck. Maybe I'll get to them soon or something. Or, you know, they could be mana flooded, but all they're drawing is ramp, you know, and then that's supposed to thin things out. So to me, leaving the Ur-Dragon alone, even for a turn, means that it's a higher likelihood that you're just going to attack and draw something big and play it for free. And that's also going to suck for us, the players who've been dealing with you the whole day. I like the angle of having kept a bad hand. And I will say we're not interrogating this. We're not approaching this from the perspective of was Finn the bolus for scooping, but there is something to playing a three-player game and then scooping because it's not breaking your way. It's already... Yeah. Look, if you sit down and you play a three-player game, you decide to move forward with a three-player game, that is a decision that I'm expecting you to keep up. Like, I'm expecting you to make it through the whole game. Three players is like we are already making concessions. We are compromising on whether or not to play at all. You know, you're at an LGS, you can't find a fourth three-player game. We're saying we're doing this. This is really what we're doing. A non-ideal amount of players. And so you go, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you mana flood and get pissy when your huge dragon gets removed. Yeah, I understand not having fun and wanting to excuse yourself from the game. You're sitting down for a three-player game, you should stick around. Especially if you're playing the Ur-Dragon, which has an eminence ability that reduces everything. You've already done all your ramp. You're probably going to draw into a bunch more stuff. I don't see like how the long game isn't going to benefit you when if the other two are competing with like sending their removal at each other, they probably won't have removal to send your way either.
Yep.
You know? So to me, scooping was not the right move and is actually something that I would consider kind of like a little not like a bolus level offense, but definitely like a bit of a dick move. Like I wouldn't appreciate or I wouldn't really want to play with that person again, especially if they're like, hey, let's play three again. I'd be like, nah, find a fourth. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. You know, so to me, we're going to put that aside and just go Finn. Didn't like that so much.
Yeah,
but I get the idea of... Yeah,
there was a salt stack, I think, going on here that, that ended this game. There was the first salt stack of James not killing the Ur-Dragon with the transmog wand, and then suddenly targeting this Oaklaim adversary with the wand.
Which is a wild move.
And then that sounds, almost like... that's awkward. There's something else there, right? There's more context needed. And then not using the vines and then casting Thrash to kill the Ur-Dragon because, oh, suddenly I remembered that this is the biggest threat, and that why would you do that to me? It doesn't matter, right?
So
I will defend not using the thrash.
Vines of Vastwood.
God, hold on. The vines.
Which I should read.
I will defend not using the vines. It gives you hexproof from abilities specifically.
Target creature can't be the target of spells or abilities your opponents control this turn. So it's like it's hexproof.
Actual hexproof.
Actual hexproof.
I don't know why it's not eroded to hexproof. Yeah.
I don't know. It's not. But if it's kicked, which is why the two mana is important for the adversary, is that if the spell was kicked, that player gets +4/+4. That creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. The thing is, it's just a protection spell in this case, right?
Yeah.
So the John Doe didn't bother with the protection spell, opting instead to take this opportunity to remove a massive threat. You know?
I think it's objectively the correct play,
yeah, totally.
Right?
It's
because
the play to win.
You're either spending a protection spell to counter a single activation of an ability that will be activated again, and you have no guarantee that that's going to get pointed at the Ur-Dragon, mm-hmm. which you know will run away with mm-hmm. the game. So you use the opportunity to punch the Ur-Dragon, which, let's be real, is coming back in two turns. So it's not even that big of a deal for the Ur-Dragon player. I think that's objectively the correct move, and I don't think you can. I don't think you can cut
it can
any
come
other way
back
on
the
that.
Next
I think
turn if they draw a Sol Ring and have another land in hand, like it. That's all it would take is like literally. Oh, here it is again. There's no. Yeah. It's not that far off from bringing it back. So there's that idea too. Like I get that you didn't do much this game, but like you have the whole rest of your deck that's coming up.
Yeah.
Because you have to feel it like this. Finn's hand is one of two things. Either it's still flooded, in which case he's going to get the Ur-Dragon again and there's nothing you could do about it. Or he's actually drawn gas, in which case he has things to play and should play the gas. Like, I don't see any world in which you, should be salty about this scenario because...
James can reactivate the wand. It's sorcery speed, thankfully, but like, you know, you don't have a haste enabler or something, you throw down the Ur-Dragon again, it gets removed, and now you're like two more turns removed or two more lands. Mm-hmm. But again, hopefully by then you've gotten rid of the wand in its utility. It's got nothing left. You've got two oxen to work with.
That might be the game changer, right? Game there. Changers. Forget Smothering Tithe.
2/2
We get some oxen with your stat line, Mike, and we just keep going with it.
This is my stat line from last week. What
a callback. 2/4
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand James targeting the adversary, though. I don't think that made any sense.
There's this something game, else there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the power and toughness doesn't even really matter on the adversary. You basically just played like... one of those 1/1s with death touch. Like, it doesn't do anything.
I want to pop out on this one, y'all. And I want to say that everybody and nobody is the bolus in this one. I think there's a little too much going on between everyone. But if I had to lean a certain way, I would say that OP's not the bolus for targeting removal and playing to win.
Win, that's the right game. Yeah, if you're playing to win, this is the dumbest story to submit because it's obviously the correct move. Like... we don't have a full scope of the whole board, but like the Ur-Dragon hits the battlefield. Yeah, get rid of it.
Yeah, it's you or me.
And then that's the other thing is like they wouldn't like John Doe would not have gone for it right away unless the trigger of the wand wasn't pulled. So it's like it's all dominoes. It's just exactly the game you think it's going to be. And I would like to say, again, you're like, nobody's the bolus, everybody's the bolus. I'm going to go ahead and say, James had every right to just kill the Ur-Dragon and done it the first time and let it be that. And instead, James picked OKM Adversary. And I know this is, am I the bolus? And James has not written in. That was a dumb move.
But that's not going to stop you. That's not going to stop you from judging him on a moral level.
I'm not calling him a bolus. Nobody's a bolus, I think, either. That's my take, is that nobody is, but it's also like people weren't, you know, consider what you're doing a little bit more carefully, but nobody's a bolus, but also like take it easy, you know? versus, you know, I don't think that John Doe is the bolus. Playing to win is fair. You're playing to win. This is the right move. I think Finn pressuring somebody to keep something around when it's like, you know, that's not fair. It's not fun. But also, like, I've been there. Hey, I finally played this thing. I haven't been having fun much this game. I'm finally doing a thing this game. I do want to just, like, do a thing. Okay, well, it got removed. Maybe there's more to it. You could have stuck it out. So I think that him scooping, not my favorite move, especially a three-player pod, especially when there's more to be had. This is the closest somebody gets to bolus in the story. But even then, I'd say it all the time. Like, if you're not having fun, it's fair to scoop. Like, you can scoop.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is the bolus here, but they all are the loot, you know, in the sense that they all need to calm the fuck down. Sorry, Ken. It's just like, you guys are putting a lot of gravitas on this situation when really all that happened was some removal got thrown around. Yeah. It became pretty hard for anything to stick, and the game was going to kind of stall out for a bit. Like, eventually the wand was going to go away. Eventually the Ur Dragon was going to come back. Eventually you were going to draw something. Eventually you could have, you know, used your protection spell on some other more important
like
thing than
Voltron
some random death toucher.
Your Voltron Commander. You're playing a Zyrus Voltron deck, which, by the way, you're probably going to turn towards the Ur Dragon and make them draw cards, right? Probably. Like, if you're going to be Voltroning.
There were like a million outs, and everyone just kind
decided to engage.
Everyone engaged immediately and didn't think the consequences of it through, in that it wasn't as bad as it appeared. And at the end of the day, I can't say anyone is the bolus, but yeah, just ride it out, you know. It's gonna be fine.
I mean, John,
not gonna
John
kill
could've let the creature die, and that would have been it. And then you watch the Ur Dragon draw one card and go, oh, this is pretty good. What if I got it in for free? Haha. You know?
Yeah. And then it becomes, well, now I have to shoot you with my wand. No. It's like, no, I only did this once.
Exactly.
It's just going to keep escalating if you let that
give
continue.
An inch,
you
take
know?
A kilometer.
Yeah.
That's not... I thought you'd react to...
Give an inch, take a foot.
What?
Give an inch, anyway, take a toe.
Give a millimeter, take a centimeter. Anyway, I think that we're pretty clear on how we feel about this one, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hate that I was like, transmogrifying wand is pretty indicative of a weak deck here? Or like, it's probably not as strong as... like two, maybe.
Oh no, it's a bad card. Like, even in the decks where you can reload on the charge counters, I still don't think it's good, because you're still like killing only one thing
a turn.
You're
blasting though,
and it's
sorcery
gonna...
speed does hurt though.
Yeah,
yeah, it's sorcery speed. You're not going to be able to handle new threats that come in. You know, eventually you're going to be overwhelmed with targets. Fair. You really need to be able to untap it multiple times in order to be able to
and then,
get away with it. And even then, you might as well just wipe the board. It's not solving any problems long term.
Okay, well, I think we've done it. We've done another mailbag episode, this time with our old pal Michael Solani. We're gonna end that there. I appreciate you listening. Thank you for tuning in. Michael, would you mind telling everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, you could find me at gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters SA. It's been exactly 36 minutes since the last time I said that in real time, and I still haven't changed it. Yeah. So pitchforks, everybody. Get them to my house. My address is... Ken, bleep this out.
Put a really long bleep. Nice. Mm-hmm. Morgan, what about you? Where can people find you?
I'm on Blue Sky at Indigo Gentleman.
Hell yeah. Keeping it safe, simple, chill, easy peasy. Don't forget, check out edhrec.com. We forgot to mention that last episode.
That place
you
rules.
Can read, that place rules. You can read Am I the Bolus and a bunch of other articles over there. So make sure to bookmark it. Check it every day. I'm at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, you name it. I have a link tree that ends that way. You can get tickets to my shows in Vancouver, August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I'm at Comedy Underground. I'm headlining there. And I've also got a Mike and Friends show where I've booked my favorite acts in the city. And they're all bangers. I can't wait. I'm also doing Jokes Please on the 29th. You can tell your friends about the podcast at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. Make sure people listen. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. And, you know, I appreciate you listening. Give us some feedback at amithebullcast@gmail.com. Send it to us. Hit me up on Blue Sky. Very easy to reach. We just told you how. Can't wait to hear from you. And Screddy, next time we get to a good recording sesh, we're going to do the show and tell thing. And I'm excited about it. I read, just so you know, I'm reading this feedback. We're trying to implement a little bit more and more. So I just wanted to give you a little shout there and say thank you for listening. Thank you. Shout out to Datum. Shout out to all our listeners and everybody who tunes in weekly. It means a lot that this weekly push has been so fruitful. So thanks once again, Michael Solani, for joining us again. And we'll scoot the day now. It's time to scoot it.
Time to scoot the day.
Yeah, baby.